All right, so buckle up, everybody, because today we are diving headfirst into, well, ancient history. We're talking King David, Tau Samuel chapter 8, the whole shebang.
Oh, this is going to be good.
It is, because David's just unified Israel, right? He's finally king. But now everyone and their brother seems to want a piece of him. So are we going to see peace and prosperity, or is this the start of endless war?
Well, if chapter 8's anything to go by, David's not exactly shying away from a fight. I mean, we're talking victories against the Philistines, Moabites, even a king way out by the Euphrates River.
Yeah, it's a real who's who of ancient baddies. And speaking of takedowns, what about that whole capturing Methi-Agama thing? What made that city so important?
Oh, Methi-Agama. That was prime real estate. Major Philistine stronghold, controlled a lot of their movement. Taking that was a huge strategic win for David.
So like cutting off the head of the snake.
You got it. No more Methi-Agama, no more easy access for Philistine armies to threaten Israel. Big win.
Makes sense, but then things get a little brutal.
Oh, you mean the Moabite situation.
Yeah, that whole measuring out defeated soldiers with a line, deciding who lives and dies. I mean, that's hardcore even back then, right?
Sadly, not really. Ancient warfare wasn't exactly known for its gentle touch. Crushing your enemy completely was pretty standard. We call it total war later on, and yeah, not pretty.
It's a good reminder of how much things have changed. But then we see David dedicating all that loot, gold, silver, bronze, the works to the Lord. Now, is this just a religious thing, or is there more to it?
I'd say it's a bit of both. Right. Remember, Davy's not just a warrior king. He's claiming to be chosen by God. So this dedication, it's a public statement, shows he's not just in it for the riches. He's acknowledging a higher power.
So playing the religious and political game at the same time? Smart.
Very smart. Now, there's this other detail that caught my eye, the whole chariot horse thing.
Right. Cripples most of them, but keeps some for himself. Why destroy some and keep others? Seems kind of counterintuitive.
But think of chariots, like the tanks of the ancient world, right?
Hmm.
Top-tier military tech. Crippling most of those horses, it's like taking out the enemy's armored division. But keeping some? That's David upgrading his own forces.
So it's not just about winning battles, it's about staying one step ahead.
Precisely. And David wasn't just a military mind, he was also a shrewd diplomat. Remember King Toi of Hamath sends David gifts, congratulates him on defeating a common enemy.
Right, right. So he's building alliances, not just conquering everyone in sight.
Exactly, playing the long game. These victories weren't just about land, they were about resources, trade routes, controlling access to the Red Sea. David was building the foundation for a powerful kingdom, even established garrisons throughout Edom, basically turning it into a vassal state.
Talk about thinking long term.
Yeah.
But there's this interesting detail at the end of the chapter. David's focus on justice for everyone, not just the elites.
Oh, that's crucial. Shows he understood true leadership wasn't just about power and conquest, but serving your people, ensuring fairness. It's about building loyalty, a stable and just society.
So strength on the outside, Andy the inside.
Exactly. Military might and strategy win battles, but righteous leadership, that's what builds a lasting legacy.
So we've got this picture of David emerging, brilliant strategist, diplomat, A&D, a king who seems to get that true power comes from serving your people justly.
You've summed it up perfectly, but there's a big question looming, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. How do these ancient stories about chariots and conquest connect to our lives today?
Now that's what we're going to explore next.
Okay, so we've been digging into this portrayal of King David as a warrior, a strategist, a king who really prioritized justice. But I mean, it's ancient history, right? Chariots, conquests. How does any of this stuff actually apply to us today?
It's a good question. On the surface, yeah, it seems like a world away. But if you look a little closer, there are some parallels to leadership even today.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Where do you even start to make those connections?
Well, look at David's military strategy, for instance. Securing your borders, forming alliances, expanding your influence, those aren't just ancient tactics.
You're saying they're principles that apply whether you're running a country, a business, heck, even a school fundraiser.
Exactly. It's not about literally copying what David did, obviously. I don't think anyone wants to bring back total war as a business model.
Yeah, probably not the best PR move.
But understanding his strategic thinking, that can be insightful. What were his goals? What was the situation? How did he make calculated decisions to reach those goals? That's valuable stuff in any context.
And what about his focus on justice? It wasn't just about being a good guy. It was like a core part of his leadership.
Oh, absolutely. David understood that real power wasn't just about force. It was about creating a society where everyone felt protected and valued.
So it's like, that's where the real strength comes from. For a nation, a company, even a family.
Exactly. And that makes me think of another thing about David's story that really resonates today, that whole dedicating the spoils of war thing. It wasn't about enriching himself. It was about acknowledging something bigger.
Right. But how do you translate that to today? Most of us aren't exactly rolling in chariots full of gold.
True. But the idea still matters. Success isn't just about individual achievement. It's about contributing to something beyond ourselves, using what we have, resources, talents, influence, to make a positive impact.
So whether it's philanthropy, volunteering, even just being a mentor to someone, it's about leaving the world a little better than we found it.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And there's this other thing. David wasn't just obsessed with winning each battle. He was building for the future, creating a kingdom, a dynasty.
He was playing the long game. It wasn't about short-term gains. It was about a legacy that would outlive him.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me think, true leadership today, it has to be about that long-term vision, about building something that lasts.
And that vision wasn't just about military power or wealth. It was about a just and flourishing society.
It's so interesting because we're talking about an ancient king, but it feels so relevant to today, you know? Building a sustainable future, a more just world, those are huge challenges.
Huge. And they require the kind of leadership David seemed to understand. Not clinging to power or personal gain, but using your influence to build something lasting and good.
So we're getting these timeless lessons from David's story. But let's be real, it's not all sunshine and roses. There's violence, betrayal, personal failings.
Very true. And those parts of his story are important to think about too. They remind us that even the most celebrated leaders, they're human.
They make mistakes, have flaws, and it's not about pretending to be perfect. It's about learning from those mistakes, recognizing our weaknesses, and trying to grow.
That's what makes David's story so powerful, I think. It's not simple. He's not a flawless hero. It's the messy reality of leadership, the wins, the losses, everything in between.
Exactly. And maybe by looking at those complexities, we can learn something about leadership in our own lives.
I like that. It's not about worshiping David or trying to copy him exactly. It's about using his story as a way to reflect on our own values, our aspirations, our potential to be great, and to mess up.
And that brings us to the heart of why these deep dives are so fascinating, don't you think? It's not just history. It's about understanding ourselves and these challenges of leadership that we all face, no matter who we are or what we do.
It really is. And that in itself is a pretty incredible legacy.
You know, through all this talk about David's victories and strategies, what really sticks with me is that 2 Samuel 8, it's not just about winning. It's about building something that lasts.
Yeah, I mean, conquering is one thing, but then what? You need a plan, a framework for a kingdom that can actually thrive.
Exactly. And it's interesting because David didn't just focus on military strength or grabbing all the riches. He seemed to get that a truly strong kingdom had to be based on something, well, deeper.
Absolutely. He was laying the groundwork for a society that was just and fair, one that wasn't just powerful, but also stable. I mean, think about it, a kingdom built on oppression and inequality. That's not going to last.
It makes me think of that saying, people might forget what you said or did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And it feels like David really understood that. His legacy wasn't just about accomplishments. It was about how he treated people.
Right. Spot on. And that's a huge takeaway for leaders even today, isn't it? Doesn't matter if you're running a company, a community group, or even just your own family.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make a real impact, you need more than just checking things off a list.
It's about building a culture, one where there's respect, fairness, a sense that everyone's in it together.
Couldn't agree more. And it makes you think about legacy too, you know, creating something that goes beyond just your own lifetime, something that benefits others even after you're gone.
Right. And David was a master of that, wasn't he? I mean, he was thinking generations ahead.
Yeah, he was. And it all comes back to this idea at the heart of his story. Real leadership isn't about grabbing power for yourself. It's about using your power to serve something bigger.
Using your influence, your skills, whatever you've got to offer, to make a positive difference in the world. And that's a challenge for all of us, no matter who we are or what we do.
You're absolutely right. Whether we're CEOs or teachers, parents or volunteers, we all have the chance to leave a mark to make things better.
So maybe as we wrap up this deep dive into King David's world, the question we should all be asking ourselves is, what kind of legacy am I building? What do I want to leave behind?
Powerful stuff. Because in the end, it's not about titles or positions. It's about the choices we make, the impact we have, and the kind of world we want to create.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, folks. It's been a real eye-opener. We hope you'll keep thinking about these questions, these challenges of leadership, and maybe find some inspiration in the story of this ancient but still surprisingly relevant king.